Blog Talk Radio.
Rich? Rich?
He's playing classic Long Sensation. And he is the host of Concentration.
Let's try this again. Isaiah, can you hear me? Isaiah, any luck? Kylan, can you hear me?
Yes, Rich.
Okay. I'm going to try to connect again. Trying to connect again. I do not know what's going on with our host, but it is being a pain in the rear. So, Kylan, stand by. Isaiah, can you hear me now?
I can.
Oh, thank God. All right. Yeah, technology's the worst right now. And it's all right. We're going to make it through. We're going to make it through. Welcome back to the Deep Dive. And before we get started and before the gremlins again come to take everything away, why don't you tell everyone a little bit about yourself and what you have been bringing to the table as far as content in the last little bit. And obviously, I know you're taking a little break from wrestling, but anything else you want to promote or give the folks an idea about yourself, that'd be great.
Rich, thanks a lot. Thanks again for having me on. For those unaware, I'm Innocent Isaiah, former independent pro wrestler along the East Coast. I also had someone who quite similarly resembled me in Chikara for a short period of time. And in the past couple of months, stepped away from wrestling for personal things. But I think right now is a really interesting time for every kind of wrestling fan, just because of the depth and variety of things available to wrestling fans in terms of promotions and how people receive that content. And I don't think I'm in the minority that I've been very excited over the past couple of weeks with the new Wednesday Night Wars with NXT on USA and AEW on TNT going head-to-head. And so I've been keeping tabs on that pretty closely. And with the benefit of technology, unlike what's going on with the switchboard, we have the capability of watching shows at our leisure. So what I typically do is watch AEW live and then follow up with NXT on the network, because I know that'll be uploaded in about 24 to 48 hours.
Awesome. And that's pretty much what I do. I try to watch some of NXT if my schedule allows Wednesday, because we do the East Coast cast and I try to do a little bit of that as it's happening. But most of the time it's AEW live, and then I kind of figure everything else later. Have you had a chance to watch anything with Beyond Wrestling? And if so, did it tickle your fancy, or maybe just there's too much wrestling you haven't had a chime yet, or whatever you think?
Yeah, I think that a lot of this new content was pretty revolutionary with what Beyond was doing even first, before we started seeing the Wednesday Night Wars with their uncharted territory. For those unaware, independent wrestling TV, IWTV, has been doing some really amazing things with streaming content and their subscription service and their apps for the past couple of years, actually. And so before AEW came onto TV, before we had NXT, IWTV was actually running weekly shows from Beyond Wrestling called Uncharted Territory, which had been really good, refreshing content. And so having dabbled in the East Coast Indies, a lot of people that I associated with, people that I called my friends, had some really entertaining matches. And it was great to have kind of a live audience from the different areas where Beyond runs available to the fans every week before we started getting the Wednesday Night Wars.
Excellent. And so for you, you know, with this technology, I know I love the fact that everything's on demand, because there's some days I can't necessarily watch everything. Like you were mentioning with Wednesday, I know Beyond, it took me some catching up to do because I missed the first week and then kind of dove back in when I had time. And really, to be honest, didn't have my son within earshot, because out of all of them, they're probably the bluest. They have the most like adult language in the product, so I can't necessarily put it on my TV if it's not bedtime yet for my kiddo. But in terms of their wrestling content, I put them up with anyone. Looking at the way the Wednesday Night Wars have begun, what's been your observations as far as AEW, what you liked, you didn't like, and NXT?
Yeah, I've been listening to a lot of the other Torch podcasts about how people have been receiving it, and I think I'm in agreement as well. I think that the presentation of AEW has been top-notch. It's a clean aesthetic. The full-capacity arenas is really interesting. Quite a stark contrast from what we're seeing at Full Sail, although they've dressed it up and are presenting it a lot differently than it had been on the online series. So I think aesthetically, AEW does get the nod there. However, if we're talking purely in-ring content, I think it still goes to NXT. I mean, looking back to that first episode of AEW Dynamite, and again, I'm not perfect having been a pro wrestler and having had certain spots that didn't go off as smoothly in the ring, there were definitely some spots during that show that maybe have some pause or maybe feel a little uneasy in terms of just execution overall. And so being a fan, being a wrestler, you take everything with a slightly different critical eye, having known what it's like in the ring. So that definitely does come into my perception of both. So in terms of storyline and action and personalities, I'm a little more favorable towards NXT, but I gotta say, seeing AEW its presentation and its potential is really promising, and it's just something nice to watch as an alternative so that both companies can collectively challenge each other to step their games up.
And I want to get your opinion, especially given your experience in the ring. Do you think the NXT and AEW wrestlers are doing too much for the first and second weeks going against each other? Do you think it's just right? Because I know there's been a big concern. You know, the first week of AEW versus NXT, for instance, I looked at that card for NXT, and it was a glorified takeover with all of the quality and the match length and all of that fun stuff. And AEW really has been the little engine that could in terms of how they've been presenting their product. Do you feel like that could have long-term ramifications? And if so, do you say no? Just go balls to the wall and kind of see what happens.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, and I can see why they would come out with the most appealing shows right off the bat because they're trying to grab eyes and attention. And so I definitely credit both companies for what they're doing there, because just like every other form of entertainment, they are trying to compete for people's time, effort, and attention, because we only have so much free time in our nights. I have been a little curious as to actually some of the match execution, and I know that certain styles appeal to certain people, but in terms of how some of the matches have actually played out, I feel like things might be a little bit overdone in that respect. I think back to the Lee Dijakovic match, and they did some really impressive stuff. Like, I think they did a destroyer off the ropes, and that didn't lead to a finish, whereas someone's finisher soon after that did. And it kind of makes me question the logic a little bit. Again, I'm not perfect. I didn't have 5-star stellar matches every time out in the ring. But if you're setting a bar that high where someone is kicking out of a very high impact move and then finishing the match later on with something that could be seen as less impactful, or a roll up just to kind of protect both people, it does make one scratch their head just a little bit.
And it's funny you mentioned that. I just had a delightful argument the better part of this afternoon with my host of the East Coast Cast, Travis Bryant, about that subject, because I don't know if you've been looking on Twitter, but Donovan Dijakovic decided to, take a shot at someone regarding their match. And then one of the members of the Revival, quote, tweeted it and said, "Learn to use psychology, you idiot," basically, referring to the Canadian destroyer off that, I believe it was the second rope. And it's funny when you have friendly fire going on within the same company as far as what people find to be entertainment and not. And my argument was always with those guys, the big guys, I don't necessarily mind them flipping, but I think the line does get crossed, as you mentioned, where you have something that really should be a finishing sequence. As in, he, you know, bragged that he saw doing Canadian destroyers as arm drags as a cool thing.
Oh yeah, most definitely. And again, I always preface things that I say. Wrestling is art. I had someone who always reminded me that wrestling were like ice cream flavors. Not everyone likes the same brand. Not everyone likes the same flavors. So some people may prefer their wrestling like that. I tend to side towards kind of what the Revival was saying. Having been a few companies after they had left, I could definitely see the influence in their psychology and their ring style. You know, just thinking back to this past week on Dynamite, the Young Bucks versus Private Party was an amazing match, and they're actually telling really great stories. But like I was mentioning, I did get pulled a little bit out of the mystique when these high impact moves are getting kicked out of that could absolutely and totally should, in my opinion, be finishes for the sake of getting a "This is awesome" chant, an AEW chant, just to create more of a spectacle rather than kind of be a little bit more coherent in what they're trying to exude in the ring.
And when you look at AEW with Private Party in particular, I was really excited that the Young Bucks put them over, kind of gave a national audience a peek into how awesome they could be. Do you think that was a good decision, or are you with, I think a majority of the Torch staff and most of wrestling media I've listened to really felt like the Young Bucks did themselves a disservice by losing that match. What were your thoughts?
Personally, I thought that was just fine. Everyone knows who the Young Bucks are, so they're not going to lose any status. It's not like they're going to fade into obscurity into AEW. It was definitely a good talking point. Had they not been so heavy-handed on commentary as to how strong of a favorite the Bucks were, then maybe the upset finish might not have been less surprising. But that's to say that the Young Bucks are going to be just fine moving forward in AEW. They're still going to be prominent. They're still going to be featured. And I think that was a good opportunity for that national audience, again, competing for energy, effort, and attention, especially at the start of the show, to get an idea of who Private Party is and to see what they can really do in the ring, and then hopefully be hooked to see them move on into the next round.
Excellent. And so now we've done a pretty good job, but I know Kylan, for instance, is online, so I want to bring him into this conversation. Kylan, welcome back. Thanks for your patience as these gremlins get worked out on the phone. And how are you doing this fine Saturday?
I'm very well, Rich. Thanks for having me. And as you and I both know, due to the suffering that we went through 3 weeks ago, I know something about the phone gremlins too, so sorry that you've had to experience that, my friend.
Yeah, it happens. I mean, it's one of those things we're trying to work through. I've been talking offline with some of my compatriots that use it, and it's wild. Technology is great until it isn't. That's really one of those things I learned with my dad growing up. You know, it's like, hey, look at this garage door opener. Hit the button. Oh, no, it doesn't work. Then we spend 5 years having our garage door with the little rope pulled down and manually doing it because at some point everything burned out. So this is that only with Blog Talk, which means boo Blog Talk. It's fine, though. Isaiah's here. You're here. What do you have for us on this fine week?
Well, after your supreme analysis of week two of the Wednesday Night War here, I'm not sure where to fit my stuff in, but I'll take a stab. So far, I give my very slight edge to the team at All Elite Wrestling in terms of their creative freedom, and due to the stature of the great Jim Ross and Tony Schiavone on their announced team, which adds the William Daniels level of gravitas to their presentation of wrestling.
Yeah, I agree. I think having the announced crew, though, I think Tony has been more of a utility player. Like, he's great at announcing, great in that booth for AEW Dark, great doing the advertisements, and Jim really adds the gravitas in history. But at some point, I feel like when the youngins are out there, he kind of turns into granddad talking about, you know, he gets a little ornery. He isn't as ornery as he was with New Japan, where he was live reacting to people tweeting about him maybe mispronouncing a name or something silly like that. Isaiah, what have you thought of the commentary?
I thought commentary on both shows has been really stellar. I was talking to someone on Twitter this week, and listening to Schiavone, he sounds genuinely enthusiastic about every single thing that happens. I know there are two things. The second I can't remember, but the first that really made me laugh out loud was when I think Excalibur had called the Vader Bomb Senton in the women's tag match, and Schiavone goes, "Is that what that's called now? A Vader bomb? That is so cool." And then Jim Ross chimes in, "Yeah, that stuck a lot better than the Leon White bomb." And I think you just have a different product. Yeah, you have a different presentation over on NXT. I'm a big Morrow fan. At times, like everyone else, I do think some of those pop culture references are a little obscure and a little forced. And I've always enjoyed Nigel with his wit and his timing. And Beth Phoenix is coming along nicely. I've never had anything negative about what she does, but I'm still waiting for her to really jump off the page to me as a really dynamic voice contributing to the show.
Excellent. What else you got, Kevin?
You know, I probably shouldn't be surprised, but I'm very surprised that Tony wouldn't remember the Vader bomb being called the Vader bomb, because Leon was doing that in WCW when Tony was working with him. So he's seen enough of them to know what that move was called.
Now, in his defense, I could be wrong, but I swear that they didn't really dig into it being the Vader bomb until he got to WWF. And in WCW, he did the splash, but he mainly did the power bomb when he had a Harley Race as a manager. And maybe that might have been it, because once Tony was out, as he said, you know, for many years when on his podcast with Mr. Conrad, that he, you know, once he was out, he was out. So I'm just going to put that out there, and I'm sure someone can research, email, and let me know, or tweet me at some point at @rich_fan, two N's, and correct me. But yeah, I think that's what it was, but I could be wrong.
That's true. What it was, he did it, but Tony was never instructed to put a name on it. I guess he would have reason not to know what it was called if he was never given the name of it to say.
That makes sense. Now, what other fun things do you have about the Wednesday Night War, SmackDown, the draft, anything else about, like, what's going on now? NWA, I know you recommended that I should watch NWA. What were your thoughts on that, and kind of share that with Isaiah?
I thought that the team of Billy Corgan and David Lagana really deserved a Medal of Honor for the first episode of NWA Power, because that was a phenomenal example of how 1970s and 80s wrestling can and should be translated in this era, especially with the way the Nick Aldis versus Tim Storm main event story and journey was told, with Tim Storm crying during his promo because the AWA title means so much to him as a 54-year-old individual who knows that he may not have any more world title shots in the future.
Yeah, that was good. And Isaiah, did you get a chance to watch any NWA? And if so, what were your thoughts?
So I'll be honest, I really haven't checked out the NWA recently. I have been keeping tabs on the resurgence with Billy Corgan and Lagana, and they've been gaining a lot of momentum over the past couple of months with Nick Aldis's journey. Keeping up along Twitter, I have seen the new set and all the people that are coming in. I like that it's kind of a throwback to the older days of how things used to be done. And I know that a lot of people that I've crossed paths with on the indies are becoming more prominent on NWA Power. So, you know, in the days ahead, as I find some time in my schedule, I do intend to check it out, just to see what kind of product they're putting forward, because I'm sure it'll be a contrast to AEW and NXT and Beyond Wrestling.
By the way, I would also like to take time to commend Hollywood's richest actor and busiest actor, Dwayne The Rock Johnson, for taking time out of his busy schedule to sit down for an hour to watch NWA Power and whatever wrestling product he manages to find. So for those people who say, Rock doesn't love wrestling, Rock left us behind, you don't know what you're saying.
Well, that is absolutely true. Now, Kylan, did you have anything else before we get out of here for this week?
What was your impression of, in my opinion, the cartoonish and hokey WWE draft segments that were done on Friday's edition of the newly christened Friday Night SmackDown on Fox?
What do you think, Isaiah? Did you get a chance to watch it yet? And all of the shenanigans that took place last night?
Unfortunately, I was traveling as it was going on. I did read Wade's report, and I'm not surprised at the presentation. I did catch a little bit of the three-minute summary on Instagram, and I saw a little bit of the boardroom. And correct me if I'm wrong, did they have the NFL robot in there as well?
They, in fact, had Cletus, the NFL robot.
Okay. All right. So, not completely surprised. Probably not their finest moment and not something that I'm going to recommend fans outside of wrestling and maybe some fans even in wrestling to seek out. But hopefully, once this next full week is over and we're through the kind of lunacy of how the draft is conducted, we can kind of settle into these respective rosters and really get into each show as they kind of find their legs, hopefully without too much crossover leading into Survivor Series, because then that kind of makes the entire draft a moot point for the next month or so.
Yeah, very good point. And I know for me, looking yesterday at the draft and then discovering I had done like a little setup for a fake mock draft online, which is redundant, a mock draft online. And I looked and noticed that the order that they put the wrestlers in matched the order that they picked them on the show. And so I wasn't the only person. Obviously, Twitter was alight with that knowledge. And so this morning, they re-released the list and alphabetized the wrestlers. But I'm interested to see if Monday they still go by the original order, and just wanted to make sure no one else could see it. What did you think about that, Kylan?
I thought that was a wise move, and quite frankly, that's what they should have done in the first place. But I'll say this, and I doubt that they're listening to this, but if my name was Paul Heyman or Eric Bischoff right now, I would be going to Vince McMahon and begging him to let me have full control over Raw and SmackDown for the next month and letting me show him what I was capable of without his fingers all in my proverbial cookie jar, if you know what I mean.
Oh, absolutely. And before we get out of here, is there anything else you want us to go over, or you think you're good for this week?
Well, before I get out of here, I would just like to say that for those of you who didn't take time to listen to Rich's interview with ex-Boy and Girl Meets World showrunner Mark Bluttman, please take time to do so, because not only is it a good interview, but for those of you who happen to like my sensibilities, I personally went and booked it for Rich. So,
yes, and thank you very much for that, sir.
You're very welcome, and Mark is ecstatic to come back whenever we need him, which I already have something for him that I think we'll be able to use him on in the future.
Excellent. Well, thank you as always, and have a wonderful weekend, Kylan. That was Kylan from New Jersey, great contributor and host, co-host booker. So, Isaiah, if you're looking to make your rounds on the torch, Kylan is the man to be your agent. He can be your advocate a la Paul Heyman, though I think Bruce will probably have that covered.
Absolutely.
Excellent. So you mentioned earlier when we were talking about AEW, looking at it with a keen eye as someone who has been a wrestler and just kind of seeing things that other folks wouldn't. For you, what attracts you to a show, both as a fan and now as a worker, a former worker? What are the things that kind of bring you, you know, we mentioned Beyond, we talked about AEW and NXT, but is there anything else you're watching and anything else you would recommend folks watch?
I mean, I would highly recommend an IWTV subscription. There is just so much content there across multiple promotions all throughout the United States and internationally. A lot of things on demand, both current and backlisted from a lot of well-known, respected promotions. And it's also a good way to get into things that you might not be into yet. You know, on Twitter, a lot of people are getting notoriety. And before, it would be hard to really kind of keep tabs on them and see what they're doing, what they're up to, what their character and persona is even all about, aside from maybe a short clip here, a YouTube link, but things would be kind of piecemeal. Now, with the promotion and the collaboration that IWTV does, you can follow your favorite wrestler despite being an entire coast away from them and see where they are pretty much almost every weekend to follow what they're doing and help chronicle their career. In terms of a good show, I'm a big fan of variety. You know, you don't want all the same type of matches. You want different styles, you want different characters, you want different body types. I'm a real sucker for some good tag team wrestling, as you probably know. Not to say that a Haas fight here and there, a little bit of hardcore, and then a faster, high-flying style, all in a good mix, will give you a nice sampler of everything that's available in pro wrestling in the span of one show, be it 2, maybe 3 hours. So I like to have a lot of variety in my pro wrestling shows, you know, well-defined faces and heels that you really dislike and that garner a lot of disdain, whereas baby faces that you can really get behind don't question their actions or motivations, and just make you feel good when they lose and feel really bad when they don't overcome.
And I heard about 3-2-1 battle. I'm sorry, 3-2-1 attack, based out of, I think it's like Northwest, where it's a lot more focused on crazy stories, bar wrestling, things like that. I had on last week, my co-host was author, academic, and all-around nice person. And in terms of, like, the wrestling she watched, we wanted to kind of go over, like, well, what is the thing that ties you in? What's the thing that gets you excited? And for her, it was really just – her name is Jackie Pratt, at Cheap Pop is a band. She also has her own WrestleCore band with her husband and a friend of theirs. We talked a lot about Candice LeRae and PWG and how she was allowed to be an intergender Wonder Woman in terms of wrestling the men, Young Bucks in particular, wrestling with the world's cutest tag team. Have you seen the new face of intergender wrestling in the last few months, a wrestler by the name of Chris Statlander? What'd you think of Chris, if you have? Because I think she's been making her rounds around a lot of places, and I wanted to get your thoughts as a worker, what you thought of her, if you had.
Yeah, definitely. I did do a few shows with Chris. Very nice person, and definitely a very compelling wrestler. I know that she's gotten a lot of acclaim and esteem in the last couple of months. I know that she won a tournament at Beyond a few months ago, and good for her. I think that she deserves everything that she's gaining. She does have very compelling matches that really draw you in. And like you were mentioning with Candice kind of trailblazing, and I know there were people before her and a lot of others that are really prominent right now. But yeah, to see that strong female presence who goes just as hard against men and women who you believe to win every match they're in, that's really impressive to see. I know that she was just at King of Trios over the past weekend as well. So yeah, she's definitely been a rising star on the radar, and you know, I only see things picking up moving forward in the future for her.
And you mentioned the King of Trios. I love the Pump family when they wrestled together. That made my dreams come true. Can you talk to folks a little bit about what the King of Trios is and why Chikara is just so wonderful?
Yeah, having been a Chikara fan and, like I mentioned, a part of it for a short period of time, King of Trios is a three-day tournament, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, structured around 16 three-person teams, well, I guess three-person/creature teams, in a single elimination format. So night one is all trios matches, 8 in total. And then over the course of the weekend, as the tournament progresses, they also introduce a mini tournament called the King of the Flyers or Rey de Voladores. And that has 2 4-person eliminators and then a final on the third day. They will also have various singles matches. And then on the third day, it's the culmination of the tournament, semifinals and finals, as well as the finals of the Rey de Voladores, a tag team gauntlet, and a typically comedic 4-on-4 Atomicos match. And past winners of the King of Trios have included the Sendai Girls from Japan, British Strong Style. In one final a few years ago, it was the Bullet Club of the Bucks and AJ versus a team from AAA. So it's really interesting action. People from all over the world participate. And that international flair has not lost any steam over the past couple of years. They bring in people well-known and not so well-known. And it's just a chance for people to really raise their stock as they go on the up and up. I mean, it was probably where I first got the first introduction to Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate, and Trent Seven, and Mark Andrews. And also Flash Morgan Webster, as they came through in following years at the King of Trios tournament.
And it's interesting to me looking at the King of Trios, how many things you have fun with in terms of like the combinations of the wrestlers and then the introductions of the wrestlers. You mentioned, you know, British Strong Style, Mandrews. Speaking of balancing things, having a really good band, I always talk about like the Jericho tier of pro wrestling, where if you can come out to a song sung by yourself, you've really arrived on two fronts in terms of being a creative. And Mark Andrews, not only being a great wrestler, but also being a pretty good singer and pretty good rock and roller. I really appreciate his entrance theme in the Indies. Is something that's really something to be desired. For you, what do you think is your biggest creative outlet when it comes to, if I can't wrestle, I'm going to do this?
That is a very interesting question. So me personally, in the days since I have stopped lacing up the boots. I've actually started to get into Muay Thai training. And so a small component of why, a small component of why I stepped away from the ring was some self-preservation, because I've been pretty banged up, had some injuries that were a little harrowing and a little much for someone of my age, being what I think is relatively young. So still needing that outlet for some physical kind of aggression, because, you know, given the lighthearted nature of the character, it still gave me a chance to be aggressive and intense and really get some physicality out. So now, not sure if it was a smarter move or not a smart move or just a lateral move, I do focus some of that energy towards the sport of Muay Thai, with pad work, occasional sparring, and some clinch stuff. So still finding that physical outlet has been really crucial for me. You know, going from a lifestyle where I was performing in front of people almost every weekend to something that's been a little more low-key, but still needing an outlet for some physicality and to kind of blow off some steam in between the work days.
And for you with the Muay Thai, how did you, is it just something, because I know a lot of times, a lot of wrestlers I've talked to over the years got into a lot of the more, obviously Muay Thai has clinch, but like more of like Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, you know, Sambo in the case, you know, like catch. What attracted you to Muay Thai?
I had actually done a few years of it as a child and never really lost my affection for it. And just kind of randomly, I was in my new city and I saw a gym, but never really thought to check it out. And then took a class at the gym where I work out regularly. And it turns out that instructor was affiliated with the Muay Thai gym that I'd seen before. So she said to come by. And as soon as I stepped foot in that gym, all of the old associations, the volume, the musty smell of the air, as gross as that sounds, really just kind of sucked me back in. And I was actually joking with another wrestler that there are a lot of parallels between what you do in Muay Thai and getting into early training in wrestling in terms of the sanitary or not so sanitary conditions. Again, the filthiness that you go through, getting sweaty and being in close proximity to people, and then also knowing who you do and don't want to run your drills with, because you know who will be a good partner, pad holder, bumper, and who will not be.
Excellent. That's really cool, and that's really interesting. I know it's the same thing for me. Like I try to avoid the traditional gyms. I'll go, since I work at Pitt, I can use the old, what they call Trees Gym, which is that musty, smells like a sock / you know, old, feel like I'm in Rocky IV when I'm in there working out, and that's always a good feeling. At least the Rocky side. I'm not the Drago side. I'm not getting shot up and put on a treadmill and given all the super Soviet drugs. Not anymore, not since NAMM. But yeah, before we get out of here, I did want to ask you one more question as far as the viewing habits. Do you think it's sustainable? We have all of these shows. We have all of these hours of television. We have all of these hours of every. I mean, like this weekend alone, Grant, I don't know if you watched, but Breaking Bad's El Camino debuted on Netflix, which is the movie conclusion to the Breaking Bad series. A number of things came out on demand. How do you find the time in the day to fit all the wrestling in?
It's a true challenge. And what I think it boils down to is people will watch what they want to put their time and effort into. I make no bones about it that it's pretty hard to catch every minute of the weekly TV shows. I think Raw is just too long. It ends pretty late for my normal work schedule. SmackDown, in my opinion, hasn't been compelling enough for me to take time out of my other scheduled activities on Fridays to catch it. I do, like we talked about previously, make it an effort to see AEW and NXT because those styles really appeal to me. Given everything that's available, even on the network alone, not to include other subscription services, other networks and things like that, you just kind of think about what appeals to you most and go from there. I know that every week it seems like there's another new behind-the-scenes kind of special from WWE Network. Did I go out of my way to watch the Goldberg one? No, not really a fan. Did I go out of my way to watch the Tommaso Ciampa Blackheart special? I'm working through that right now because, yeah, he does interest me. And so just like how people make priorities in their days with their leisure activities, it's the same thing here. I make it a point to see AEW. I make it a point to see NXT. If there's a pay-per-view, I'll try to catch that as well. But honestly, not even kind of disrupting my sleep schedule to make sure I catch the end of a pay-per-view because I have the ability to watch it on demand later. I mean, I still want to go back and watch the Evolve special on WWE Network, but that's fallen down the list, as has NXT UK's takeover from Cardiff, behind things like the NXT shows and even some of the matches from King of Trios last weekend.
Awesome. Well, before we get out of here, thank you for answering that. And then I'm going to give you time to do your contact. But it's been a pleasure. I always love having you on to kind of pick your brain. And I really appreciate you taking the time and joining me on this journey, talking about what we watch. Where can folks find you? And what would you like them to know on how they can contact you?
Absolutely, Rich. Let me just say thanks again for having me. Always a pleasure and a treat to be able to talk to you. Thank you for giving me the honor of being back on your show, The Deep Dive. I have been a lot less Twitter active, as you may have noticed, and as I'll willingly say, since stepping away from wrestling. But if anyone wants to see me randomly mention things, it's at Stylish Santero. If you haven't guessed it, I would say check out IWTV because, again, it's like supporting your local business. The next and future stars are all right there just waiting to kind of be groomed or signed to your respective companies. And I think it's a great value for all the content that's listed there.
Excellent. Well, with that in mind, thank you so much, Isaiah. Thank you all for listening. As always, I challenge you to dive into something new. Give yourself the opportunity to go beyond where you can think. Next week, we're going to be live again. So hopefully, at some point, these gremlins will get thrown in a closet. And until that, be good, and I'll see you all down the line.